Yep, us crazy green divas are still here,
reinventing ourselves yet again.
Now we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube.
You can find our videos and podcasts on all the usual places.
Still sharing low-stress ways
of living a deeper shade of green.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Green Divas Show. I'm Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Lisa.
And we have a packed show today of great, great stuff.
Yes, we do.
We're going to start with talking a little bit about the Biden administration, which is getting really aggressive, wonderfully so, about climate change. I don't think I've ever known a president who's put climate change as high a priority as this guy.
Oh, no, it's completely opposite of what our last administration did, where they took the word climate science and climate crisis or any of that stuff right out of the government documents. We weren't even allowed to talk about it.
All the federal sites online had to banish the words climate change. That's crazy.
It's really crazy.
That is crazy. But you sort of looked up and found...
Well, I found an article in Grist Magazine about President Biden creating this new Jobs Corps. And it's a Jobs Corps to save the planet, basically. So it's really all about climate change jobs. And it reminded me of the WPA in FDR's time, where people were out of work during the Great Depression and people needed jobs. And rather than just give money away, hire people to do work that needed to get done. And they built the infrastructure of this country during that time.
Yeah.
Schools.
We went
roads.
To school. The town we grew up in had at least two schools that were WPA project.
Right.
And they were beautiful, beautiful schools, actually.
And they're still operating these days.
Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, Biden's really aggressive about all this. More so, I mean, a lot of the conservative folks or the climate deniers were complaining about the Green New Deal that AOC, what is her name? She's AOC now. Anyway, AOC and another congressperson from Massachusetts, I believe, introduced the Green New Deal, and it was panned by many of the conservative folks as, you know, basic communism, socialism, and we're all going to die.
It's not that at all, guys.
But it was a very comprehensive plan to bring this kind of, it was like a New Deal, which is why they called it the Green New Deal, because it brought in work, it brought in economy, it brought in healthcare, it brought
infrastructure.
And, you know, we do have to shift from a fossil fuel economy into a renewable energy economy.
We really do.
So anyway, Biden, not only, you know, did he accept a lot of the tenets of the Green New Deal, I think he went a step further in several areas and...
Go, Joe.
Right? Go, Joe. I like that he's asking us to go completely clean electricity by 2035. Now, that's 14 years from now. I think it could be done.
That's very aggressive, but everybody's got to be on board. So spread the word, folks. We need to save the planet.
And to be net zero emissions economy-wide by 2050. And I'm like, wow.
It's not very far away either, but it's absolutely essential.
And of course, you know, day one, he rejoined the Paris Agreement, which by then had been a little watered down, thank you to the last guy. And he reversed a bunch of the executive orders that had been put in place by he who shall not be named, the last guy, that were meant to deregulate and... Mm-hmm. A lot of them were really, really damaging to the environment. So, yay.
So it looks like we're on the right track for making the planet a better place for our children and our children's children going forward. Just what we need to do.
Well, it is. And so with all that said, climate change is happening. And some of it we cannot reverse no matter what we do. And we just have to learn to adapt and to adjust. Really, we do. We have to reshape how we think about certain things, how we think about development, how we think about where we live and how we garden and grow and all these things. So,
And it really doesn't matter whether you believe that it's man-made change or not. It's changing. There's no denying it. There's no turning back. We are going to have more and more extreme weather. And we really have to start planning for that.
So you may recall, if you've been watching us for a few episodes, that we had an opportunity to talk to David Pogue, who wrote a fabulous book. Wait a minute. Just happen to have it right here. How to Prepare for Climate Change, A Practical Guide to Surviving the Chaos. And we were so inspired by our talk with him and by the book that we both really got into looking through and reading that we decided we would try doing a segment every week, focusing on, because it's a big book, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
We would narrow down and focus on issues in a smaller segment.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked Mr. Pogue if he would allow us to do that and maybe occasionally show up. And he was really so gracious and excited. And so I think next week we will actually get to talk to him about this. So this week, we're going to talk about where to move, because he does a lot in this book, a lot of homework about where and how to decide in terms of climate, where is the healthiest place to move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little interesting. There are things that you don't really realize that we probably have to all start thinking about if we're going to be making any moves.
Yeah. And then our next segment will be GDs at Home. And this week, we're going to talk about cleaning products, how to reduce our footprint and how to clean in a healthy way in our homes. And there's some new products out there that we're going to talk about that I'm kind of excited about.
Non-toxic cleaning because, well, it's almost spring and we're going to be inspired, hopefully. And then, of course, before we get into all this, I want to give a healthy, hearty shout out to all of our new listeners and subscribers, viewers, and all the folks that are out there on social media interacting with us. Thank you. And if you want to find us, or if you've just stumbled upon us and want to subscribe, YouTube channel, and of course, always on social media as at The Green Divas or Green Diva Meg. In some cases, we can find Green Diva Lisa, right?
Yes. And you can ask your smart speaker to play The Green Divas. And you can find all our archived shows. We've been doing this for years, by the way, on The Green Divas. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
.com. And yeah, there are lots of articles, recipes, posts, videos, podcasts.
DIY projects.
Yeah.
Just information in general.
Lots of things, and we made it so it's pretty searchable. So let's talk about how to survive climate change.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And yeah, because it is here, whether we agree with how it's here or not.
Right.
It's,
doesn't it's matter here. Whether you agree with how we got to this place, but we are here, and we need to prepare. By the way, I bought almost a case of David Pogue's book, How to Survive, How to Prepare for Climate Change. I'm giving them to everybody. It's the kind of book you really want to have in your home.
Yeah, and it gives you a lot of food for thought as we're starting to think and plan, you know, our next moves, whatever they are,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's job or moving or growing things or whatever, putting solar panels on our houses. Some of us are thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my husband.
We have to make sure that they don't blow away in the severe wind weather. We had wind last night.
I've never felt wind like we did last night.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
It was shaking the roof.
But, you know, the roof is still there, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
We got that going for us. So, yeah, cities and corporations, they're all on board, and many of them are on board.
Big ones, like
right.
Starbucks and...
Right, San Francisco. You know, they're making plans, and they're really incorporating climate change into their planning and into their forecasting and budgeting and development plans in the case of cities and municipalities. So if that's happening, really... Individuals have to start thinking the same way on how do we make our world more safe and adjust to this kind of new reality.
Right. Well, climate migration is a real thing. The first half of this year in 2019, 7 million people were internally, meaning in their own country, displaced by events of extreme weather, according to the Internal Displacement Monitoring Center. this is a record, and the number is 2 times bigger than the number of displaced by violence and conflict. So you hear about people running for their lives from violence and
right, but you don't conflicts. Realize that there are people migrating and moving away from places because of drought, sea level rise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fires, inhospitable soil or heat. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people would have to actually leave a community.
The IPCC, do you remember what that stands for?
Darn, I thought we wrote
forgot
it down. I'm
so meant
sorry.
To write it down. But anyway, it's an
international panel, maybe, on climate
change. There we go. Something like that. Very close.
Intergovernmental.
Intergovernmental. She got it.
Oh my gosh.
Intergovernmental panel on climate change estimates that by 2050, about 200 million people will have to move. That's 1 in 45 people on the planet. 1 in 45 people are going to have to move.
Wow.
And the IPCC says that it's more likely going to be as high as a billion. And that's in 2050. That's not even 30 years from now.
Right. And as it is, 40 million people move each year unrelated to climate crisis,
yeah.
Right?
So, that's just people moving.
Yeah. Wow. It's a big move when you talk about those numbers. And it's happening here in this country. We've been talking about global numbers, but we thought for this particular segment, we would kind of narrow it down to talk about what's going on just in the United States. And I was kind of surprised how much is actually already going on.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on. Different states are going to lose and gain population. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why each of the states go. But you know what the highest loss? You could probably guess which state is going to lose the most population the soonest by 2100. It would be Florida.
Florida or Texas. Florida's or Louisiana. Just,
well,
yeah.
No, not Texas. Texas is the one that's going to gain the most population, which it's hard for me to believe because I lived in Texas for a while and it is hot and dry. And I worry about whether there's going to be enough water. But they are predicting that that will be the state because what they've learned was people don't want to be more than 4 to 8 hours drive from where they were if they have
right.
to leave because of a climate issue or, you know, rising waters and things like that. And so they feel like they'll be closer to friends. So the people from Louisiana who are going to have to flee Louisiana and they're going to have to flee Florida, they're going to go to Texas.
And they're all going to just fry.
It's going to be so hot. They're not going to go to the coast of Texas. That's not going to be. But inland Texas, which of course is a big state, it'll be really interesting. But that really surprised me in this graph. The other things were more.
Well, I was a little bit surprised that there have been 178 Alaskan communities that have now been designated threatened by the erosion of land. And I was like, what? And
Communities are all mostly near water. That's why.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
And then that's closer to where the glaciers are melting as well.
Yeah, right. They're losing. Yeah. So the Isle de Jean Charles in Louisiana, which is a First Nation community, is being depopulated because using federal grant money because sea level rise is just in making it inhabitable, and that's happening. Speaking of Louisiana. And then in Washington State, the Quinault Village of Tahola has requested $60 million to relocate, citizens. So I didn't realize that much was happening due to this. But then when you think about wildfires and what happened to that community in California, Paradise, whole community.
95% of their buildings are gone in Paradise.
So, and Mr. Pogue, which I hope he'll let us just call him David because it'll be so much easier. But I feel like I have to be formal until we get his permission.
I'm older than him, so I
that's
feel
funny.
More comfortable with it.
That's funny. He cites this state's summaries that it's a link, and we're going to give it to you on the post related to this podcast,
which you can find on our website.
But I went and looked at it, and it's very detailed. Each state, you can look up the state, and it tells you what's happened in the climate over the last century and what is predicted. And what, like New Jersey, for instance, our temperature has risen 3 degrees
That's a lot. That's a lot already.
Yeah.
So here's an example of countries and people in charge knowing what's going to be happening. 14% of the homes in Toronto are owned by the Chinese.
Okay. And that's we think that's a migration from...
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And they already own a third of the homes in Vancouver.
Well, I would like to be in Vancouver.
I do have friends that just moved there, so I'm looking forward to visit. But that's how the science is showing up, and places like China are responding to that.
Yeah, one investment. One of the primary considerations, and we'll talk about a few things that have to be looked at when you think about moving somewhere here in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is going north. You got to go north.
You have to go north, and you have to go somewhere there's water that's, you know, drinkable.
Potable water.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, you would think we'd be okay here in northern New Jersey, except that apparently ticks and mosquitoes are an issue.
So you have to worry about, yeah, you have to worry about bugs and ticks and mosquitoes because they carry disease.
Because our weather is getting hotter and moist, and it's like just perfect breeding ground for the little beasts.
I'm sorry.
Little beast.
She really hates ticks, which nobody should like. But so there are six different things that are addressed in the book, what you need to think about if you're going to choose a place to move to. One is heat waves. That's going to be a big problem with just living and resources and water.
And growing things.
Hurricanes. And most of those hurricanes are going to happen in the east and the southeastern coasts. And then
you have storm surges from that and, you know, loss of shoreline. And yeah, it's a mess.
Death and destruction, basically.
Yeah. Armageddon. Yeah.
Water shortages are going to happen in different places because of heat, because of all kinds of reasons, because of storms. And so that's something you have to
look
at. And
hopefully not because of poisoning the wells with fracking and other stupid things that humans do.
Yeah, we're going to have enough trouble keeping water, making water available without poisoning it. Wildfires are going to continue. And there are places in the country where they're more prevalent. So those areas have to be looked at.
Sea level rise, of course, is, you know, goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen, pretty much everybody has seen some kind of map that shows how the coastline moves mm-hmm. over time. And we will be sitting on beachfront property here.
if we survive the bugs. And then the last thing that you need to take into consideration is extreme rainfall. They will be places with extreme rainfall. And actually where we are is going to be part of that.
Well, and one other thing that he does talk about, that is the culture. That is a consideration, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we should wrap this one up so we can go on to talking about GDs at home.
Okay.
So again, I just want to just mention this is from the book, How to Prepare for Climate Change, A Practical Guide for Surviving the Chaos by David Pogue.
This week in GDs at Home, we're going to talk about plastic-free, non-toxic cleaning.
Yes, because we love cleaning. No, we don't. I don't.
No, but we really don't like to have those giant plastic jugs that we, you know, are heavy to carry home from the store and just impossible to recycle.
So this segment is brought to you by Care Aloha, awesome sustainable bamboo home products and apparel, a comfy way to save the planet.
So let's talk about what we can make at home. There are lots of recipes and things that we'll share on our website and our blog post about the things we can make at home that are non-toxic and easy to make.
And you save money mm-hmm. as well as packaging and all the stuff that we're trying to reduce.
Mm-hmm.
We're always trying to find ways to reduce.
Less poisons as well.
So one of the things I've taken to doing is making my own, like, window cleaner, glass cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried a couple of different formulas, which I'll share on the blog post. But the one that works the best is the disinfectant one that I made, you know, sort of natural as possible disinfectant for all this disinfectant stuff that was, remember when we were spraying everything that came in the house? Like, oh my God, we're like spraying all the food.
So, not the food we eat, the food from the grocery store.
Yeah, like the packaging of everything. There's a box.
Somebody touched it. Oh my God.
So we're getting over that. But what I discovered, because I couldn't find any glass cleaners, I just sprayed it and wiped. I was like, oh, it was like sparkles. Yeah. So I'm going to share that recipe with you because it really works. And it's very simple. It's alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, believe it or not, and then whatever essential oils you like. And
so you can make it smell however you wish.
Wait, not only can you make it smell however you wish, but certain essential oils also are antibacterial and disinfecting, like tea tree oil, lavender, believe it or not.
And there's a whole bunch. There's a whole bunch that are good for that, actually, right?
So, you know, before I think I wanted to get into all that, and now I see why we want to be concerned about our health and why we want to go non-toxic. We did a story actually a few years ago, but it still holds true, about common toxins that are found in household cleaning products. And it was kind of upsetting. And once you know these things, you can't unknow them.
That's a problem, a good problem to have.
So there are seven basic things that you really want to avoid in your cleaning products. And keep in mind, a lot of times when we're cleaning with some of these solutions, we're in small enclosed areas, you know, we're breathing it in, it's not good.
Right.
So anything that bears a poison label, okay, obviously. Yeah, right. Skull and crossbones. Much of these cleaners do have what an odorless, sweet tasting diethylene glycol.
Liar, liar, pants on fire and, is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And
it smells
found,
okay. And it,
right. And it's found in a lot of window cleaners, you know, commercial window cleaners. Stay away from formaldehyde based deodorizers. That seems
honestly,
like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
You don't actually need deodorizing. I was helping somebody clean once and I didn't know what Febreze was. It's a deodorizer. I didn't know that. And somebody handed me this and I went to clean the bathroom. Boy, did I scrub that tub with Febreze. It never got clean. And then they laughed at me because they said it's not a cleaner. But like,
well, many of these, and I think Febreze is one of them, have really highly toxic materials, chemicals in them that are by and large cancerous. You got to nix the triclosan, and that is also used often in hand sanitizers and foaming hand soaps because it does have antibiotic-resistant bacteria or something. Oh, it increases antibiotic-resistant bacteria. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
It reduces immunity as well.
Right. Exactly. So, and don't buy products that contain perfume or fragrance for the reasons we were just talking about, the deodorant things. Those are often the chemicals used are linked to allergies, among other problems.
And one of the things we talked about once before was that in fragrances and perfumes, they don't have the same regulations. So they can put all kinds of poisonous things in a fragrance or a perfume and not tell us about it.
Right.
And they do, by the way. But if you want to have something that smells good, you use...
Well, essential oils are just natural, you know. And even those can be difficult for people. I mean, some people react to lavender or certain, even natural. You have to use what works for you.
Right.
So stay away from phenols in disinfectants, especially in toilet bowl cleaners. And petroleum solvents, of course, because they can damage your mucous membranes. Right. Ooh. Yeah. Bummer.
So, and you know what?
Oh, wait, one more.
Oh, one more.
Spot removers contain perchloroethylene.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
That's what the dry cleaners use?
Yeah. So this can cause liver and kidney damage. Don't do it. So,
which is another reason to not go to your traditional dry cleaners.
Right.
Go to the healthy dry cleaners, which there are more and more of these days. Oh, thank you, God.
So then we were starting to talk about things we could make at home, and I mentioned the glass cleaner.
You know, before we even talk about that, the more I've learned the stuff I can't unlearn, when I go to a grocery store, there is usually a small section of things that are non-toxic that you can use, Mrs. Meyer's Method, you know, a couple of those brands. But for the most part, there is nothing in that long aisle that I'm going to buy. I'm not going to buy the paper products that are, you know, made from trees. I have other sources for that that we've talked about many times. I'm just not going to, I don't need any of that toxic stuff. It's just remarkable that there's so much of it and people are still buying it.
Yeah.
Stop.
So
don't do it.
So you can make your own dishwasher soap pods. I didn't realize how easy this was. Once you get the materials, you know, you get the, I use ice trays, like silicone ice trays. Mm-hmm. Once you get that and, you know, you get the whatever ingredients, and really it's simple. I think it's like three ingredients.
And they actually work.
And they wonderful. Do, right? So, yeah. And once you, like, you get this stuff, then it's so easy to do, and you're saving yourself money, and you're saving packaging, and yay.
Yay.
So, you know, if you're not going to make your own stuff, and we'll give you some recipes for that on the website, there are companies that Lisa has particularly researched that are making a difference in.
So there's this new movement in cleaning products where they're trying not to use the plastic containers. So the company True Earth makes these strips. Strips for anything. Strips for your laundry, strips for your soap.
They even have
a dusting powder for dishes that you use on a sponge. And, of course, they're all non-toxic. They're all eco-friendly, everything that they do. And then remember Jessica Alba? She started a company. She started it when she started having children and having products that were safer for babies.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now has expanded, and she has these products where it's a, you buy a forever glass bottle,
mm-hmm.
and then you have these small concentrate refills. And that's
add
that,
water.
Speak, speak. Yeah, that's all you need. And then
there's
a new company.
We interviewed her back when she started that.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun.
That was 10 years ago.
Wow.
So there's another company, Blue Land, that offers the glass bottles as well. And then their refills are little nickel size. They're very small, size of a nickel tablets that they use.
Oh, I like that.
And then our favorite place, one of our favorite resources that we've used for years is Grove, which is a company where you can order and have things delivered. And they've got all the kinds of brands that are great. And they are committed by 2050. Their plan is to be plastic free. Right now, they're plastic neutral already.
Mm-hmm.
And by 2050, they want to be plastic free. And so you can buy things with strips or whatever, but you buy the forever glass and the containers and then sometimes bags of like dish soap.
Mm-hmm.
All of those containers are recyclable. So you send them back to the company and they get recycled. So that's my story.
There are a lot of options, and you can save money while saving the planet and not poison yourself. Bonus.
Or the people that are making your products.
That's true, right?
And the communities that those products are being made in and so
all
many
of it.
Places are, yeah.
So this segment was sponsored by Caraloha, soft, clean, cool, and green, making home goods and apparel from sustainably sourced bamboo. Check out their products at caraloha.com.
So soft, all of their products. We love them.
Have a great green week. So, what'd you think?
Let us know.
And in the meantime, follow our YouTube channel. Follow the Green Divas on Instagram, Facebook, all the usual social media hangouts. And now you can ask your smart speaker to play the Green Divas podcast.
And I have a favor. Please share this with your friends. Thanks in advance.